Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the RADCOM Ltd. First Quarter 2015 Results Conference Call. All participants are present in listen-only mode. Following management's formal presentation, instructions will be given for the question and answer session. For operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded April 28, 2015. I would now like to hand over the call to Mrs. Noga Fisher. Ms. Fisher, please begin.
Thank you, Yoni, and hello, everyone. With me today are RADCOM CEO, David Rippstein, and CFO, Uri Birenberg. By now, we assume you have seen the earnings press release, which was issued earlier today. It is available on all the major financial news feeds. Please note that management has prepared a presentation for your reference that will be used during this call. If you have not yet downloaded it, you may do so through a link on the investor section of RADCOM's website at www.radcom.com/investor-relations. If you have any trouble, please call us at a U.S. number, 408-805-3009. That's 408-805-3009, or send Tali an email at tallyk@radcom.com, and she will send it to you directly. Before we begin, I'd like to review the safe harbor provision. Forward-looking statements in the conference call involve a number of risks and uncertainties, including but not limited to product demand, pricing, market acceptance, changing economic conditions, product technology development, the effect of the company's accounting policies, and other risk factors detailed in the company's SEC filings. The company does not undertake to update forward-looking statements. In this conference call, management will be referring to certain non-GAAP financial measures, which are provided to enhance the user's overall understanding of the company's financial performance. By excluding certain non-cash charges, non-GAAP results provide information that is useful in assessing RADCOM's core operating performance and in evaluating and comparing our results of operations on a consistent basis from period to period. The presentation of this additional information is not meant to be considered a substitute for the corresponding financial measures prepared in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. Investors are encouraged to review the reconciliations of GAAP to non-GAAP financial measures, which are included in the quarter's earnings release. Now, I'd like to repeat the information about the presentation. If you have not downloaded it yet, you may do so through a link on the investor section of RADCOM's website. If you have any trouble, please call us at a U.S. number, 408-805-3009, or send Tali an email at tallyk@radcom.com. Now, I'd like to turn the call over to David. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Noga, and thank you all for joining us today. I'm very pleased to report another strong quarter for RADCOM. As you can see on the third slide of the presentation, we have reported $6.4 million in revenues, an 82% gross margin, $1.3 million in non-GAAP operating profit, and earnings of $0.10 per share. This proves again the success of our MAVERICK product and our transition to a software-based business model. This is the continuation of our trend for the last 2 years, and especially the last four quarters since we introduced the MAVERICK. In slide number four, we show Q1 2015 as compared with Q1 2014 and Q1 2013, demonstrating the continuation of the positive trend. As you can see in slide five, our margins have also moved to record level. Already in the first half of 2014, we were very close to our long-term target of 75%, and this quarter, we posted a gross margin of 82%, a new record. The light gray line in the chart shows you when the MAVERICK was introduced, and you can see that it is a totally different story before and after. In slide number six, you can see how the rise in sales and gross margin, together with the stability of our operating expenses, has increased our operating income. On a non-GAAP basis, our operating income for the quarter was $1.3 million, one of the best quarters we have ever had. So we can see the dramatic improvement that the Maverick has made on our sales, margins, and profits. I'd like to take just a minute to explain again why Maverick is succeeding. We designed the Maverick to address the need that operators have for better quality of service solutions, especially for their LTE networks. These networks are so complicated that it is almost impossible to solve their quality issues without the right tool. And operators need to solve quality problems because they lead directly to the loss of their customers and revenues. The Maverick solves these issues better than any other product on the market. This is because it is stronger, more flexible, and smarter than anything else out there. The fact that it works in software rather than in hardware is a big selling point. It means that the product is ready for a virtualized environment, ready for our customers when they begin the transition to NFV. In this, I believe that we are 2 years ahead of the market. For us, the fact that it is a software-based product means that it is cheaper and faster to install. This has enabled us to reduce the time lag between booking and revenue recognition from as long as years to just months. Market developments are working in our favor. The LTE rollout continues to pick up speed in our traditional markets, especially in APAC and Latin America. We are participating in tenders with both existing and potential new customers, and we feel well positioned for a strong win rate. Some of these opportunities are in the United States, which our NFV capabilities have opened up for us. Our bookings for the quarter were in line with our typical pattern, which generally benefits from budget flushes in the fourth quarter, followed by the quiet first quarter. Nevertheless, we made important progress in a number of large tenders and hope to be able to announce good news soon. In parallel, we continue to make progress in deploying the orders in our backlog, including the $4 million deals that we announced in the last several months and some legacy work as well. As I've been saying for the past several quarters, with a client base of over 60 operators, many of whom are deploying LTE, you can see the upgrade potential for the Maverick and understand why we are so confident. So that is for the first quarter. We are very pleased with our progress and going in line with our plan. Our products are good, our markets are growing, our team is motivated, and our operations are under control. We believe that we are positioned to achieve growth throughout 2015, and we continue working to create shareholder value. With that, I will stop and turn the call over to Uri to discuss the financial results. Uri, please.
Thank you, David. Since you have the financial results on slide 7, I will just go over the highlights. To help you understand the results, I'll be referring mainly to non-GAAP numbers, which exclude share-based compensation. It is important to mention that the value of the options that were granted to employees in Q1 has become more significant as our share price has gone up over the last few months, making a larger impact on our operating expenses from a GAAP point of view. This makes it even more important to look at our non-GAAP results in order to get the full picture of our operation. Revenues for the quarter were $6.4 million, up 16% compared with the first quarter last year. The majority came from sales of the Maverick. As a result, gross margin for the quarter was 82.2%, a new record for us. This compares to 67.7% in the first quarter of last year. So as you can see, the shift to a software model is bringing a permanent improvement to our gross margin. At the same time, we expect the gross margin to continue to shift from quarter to quarter based on the exact mix of sales. So we are sticking to our long-term target of above 75%. On a non-GAAP basis, our gross R&D is down slightly from last year. Net R&D, however, is up by $250,000, reflecting a delay in the timing of the receipt of our grant from the Chief Scientist Office. We expect to have a catch-up in the second quarter when we receive the grant. Sales and marketing expenses were up slightly in the quarter, reflecting new personnel that we have recently recruited, and we expect to continue investing in our sales and marketing teams in the near future. As David said, we are participating in more opportunities than ever before, and doing this well requires an increase in our sales personnel. General and administrative expenses for the quarter actually decreased slightly on a non-GAAP basis, and we are at a good level for our needs. Taken together, operating expenses went up by about 8% during the quarter compared to Q1 2014, yielding operating profit of $1.3 million on a non-GAAP basis, which is a 20.1% operating margin. This compares with just $42,000 in operating profit on Q1 2014, which is less than 1%. So we have made outstanding progress in a short time. In the future, the operating margin will obviously fluctuate along with the gross margin according to the mix of sales. The next item is financial expenses, which have been fluctuating significantly from quarter to quarter along with the valuation of the Brazilian real and the US dollar. If you look at the presentation, you can see how the exchange rate has developed. It was 2.66 on December 31st and then went all the way up to 3.2 on March 31st, a devaluation of about 20% in just one quarter. Today, the real is about 2.92, meaning that it has gone up just in April by about 8.75% compared to the dollar. That translates into financial income of about $180,000. So if there is no change, we will have meaningful financial income in Q2. During the first quarter, our financial expenses totaled $452,000, while in the first quarter of 2014, we had financial income of $206,000. As a summary, you can expect our financial expenses to continue to fluctuate from quarter to quarter. Net income for the quarter on a non-GAAP basis totaled $821,000, or 10 cents per basic share, more than three times its level in the first quarter of 2014. So our results continue to improve in line with our plans and expectations, driven by the Maverick. We believe that the best is still ahead. Turning to the balance sheet, all parameters are in line with our expectations. As of the end of the quarter, our cash and cash equivalent totaled $4 million, compared with $2.3 million 1 year ago. DSO for the quarter were 117 days. Our receivables were relatively high, reflecting primarily the delay in a payment in one large project. Otherwise, receivables would have been at their normal level. In April, we already received part of the payment, and we expect to get the remainder by the end of Q2. Inventory is down from $3.9 million last year to $2 million, reflecting the transition to software-based products. So we are in a completely different place in terms of stability and flexibility. Back to you, David.
Thank you, Uri. So that is for the first quarter. The market is full with opportunities. Our products are excellent. Our team is motivated, and we are confident as we look for the future. As to guidance, the lumpiness of our business, together with the remaining legacy projects in our backlog, makes it difficult to make projection on a quarterly basis. What I can say is that we are on track for delivering additional growth throughout 2015, and that our target gross margin remains above 75%. We will revise this policy when our transition to software is complete, giving us better short-term visibility. In the meantime, we continue on track with our plans for growing the company and creating shareholder value. As always, thanks for your ongoing support and for participating on this call. With that, we would be happy to take your questions. Operator?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time we will begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you are using speaker equipment, kindly lift the handset before pressing the numbers. Your questions will be polled in the order they are received. Please stand by while we poll for your questions. The first question is from Amit Dayal of H.C. Wainwright. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hi, David, Uri. Congrats on the quarter. Just a few questions from my side. In terms of the revenue growth, is this primarily coming from existing customers or new customers? If you could provide some color on number of customers added in the quarter.
Yeah, hi, Amit. Good morning. As for the revenue, this quarter is mainly from existing customer. And as we said in the call, bringing new staff to the sales help us penetrate new opportunities. So the focus is to see new customers in the second half of the year.
And are these people going to be focused in Asia or Latin America?
Basically, we are hiring in all territories, as we see huge potential for our technology. So we are hiring in Asia Pacific, in EMEA, US, and Latin America.
Okay, perfect. So gross margins, you know, very strong. Congratulations on that. How should we be looking to kind of model gross margins for the remainder of the year? Should we be closer to the 75% levels for the rest of the year? Is there an opportunity to, you know, maintain the level we've seen in the first quarter?
Yeah, Amit. Yeah, we are very happy with the 82%, but we should expect fluctuation in this parameter, and I think it's better to look on a trend. So this is why we're still saying that we are aiming for 75%, maybe above it. So I suggest to be conservative for now.
Got it. But is this an indication that some of the legacy products are either out of the inventory or, you know, are being recognized now, and we have an opportunity to kind of be more consistent with these levels or closer to these levels in terms of gross margins?
Yes, we have less and less legacy in our inventory. So the moment that we will feel that we finish the transition for software or for the full Maverick solution, then maybe we'll be able to plan better the gross margin or to focus the right number. So you're right, and every quarter is a little bit better. But again, you should expect fluctuation, and it's very hard to plan on that.
Got it. The big, I guess, you know, thing that stands out this quarter is the Forex-related losses. This is not an operating issue, I guess, but, you know, if you could provide some color on you know, what the strategy is to kind of address this, or are you pretty much just going to stay neutral on it and let the markets work itself out? And whether most of that exposure is to the real, or, you know, are you seeing pressure from other currencies as well?
Yeah. The main issue we had this quarter was, and also in Q4, was with the Brazilian real. We see no alternative but to stay natural for that. And as Uri indicated in his wording, we basically in the first 4 weeks of April, we already gained some meaningful financial income. So again, you can expect fluctuation on that. What we are doing is we are trying to secure with contracts the less fluctuation, especially with the contracts with our customers in Brazil. So looking forward, I believe we will see less fluctuation in Brazil and against the real, the Brazilian real.
And are you implementing similar contracts for other geographies as well?
Well, we, you know, it's not every contract is in our full control, but we are trying to learn from that and to improve the way we are doing business with customers. In a lot of other places, the currency of the contracts or the purchase order is in dollars, so there is less influence or no influence at all. But again, in Brazil, we had a specific issue, and I think that now we will address it for the future purchase order.
Got it. And just in terms of, you know, your new product offerings, can you talk about anything that you're doing, say, within the Maverick family of offerings that are going to be sort of an opportunity to upsell or line extensions of your offerings already, you know, for the remainder of 2015 that could continue helping sales growth?
Yes. Yeah, there are two areas that we are adding capabilities to our solution. One is adding more functionality in different areas. Till lately, we were very focused on troubleshooting and quality, and now we are more and more adding capabilities around some marketing reports for our customers, some reports related to security, and stuff like that. So I cannot, for now, you know, report yet meaningful income from this direction, but we believe that it will bring additional value to our customer, and they will pay for it. And this is a good development that we had. It's part of the investment in R&D. Another dimension which can be meaningful, it's around the NFV. Basically, we were NFV ready, let's say, in the last year, but especially in 2015, in the last 4 months, we invest meaningful amounts of R&D efforts around full functionality, full virtualized solution. Again, the market is not yet there. Our customers are not yet in virtualization, especially our customers in the emerging market. But there are operators, especially in U.S. and Europe, T1 operators, that start the investment in NFV, in virtualized environment. And by that, we want to show them that we have a great solution and a full support in virtualization. So this is another investment that we are doing, and hopefully it will bear fruit in the future.
These are things that probably could play out in a more meaningful way in 2016, I guess.
2016, maybe something in 2015. Again, it depends on the plans of those operators. It's really hard to forecast the business, but we have certainty that that this is the need that operators, T1 operators, has, especially in EMEA and US.
Okay, got it. Thank you, David. Thank you, Yuri.
The next question is from George Marima. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, David. Had some questions around your sales effort. How many salespeople do you have today?
I must admit that I don't know the exact number. How you define a sales guy? Is it a pre-sale, post-sale, just sell?
Quota, the guys that carry a quota.
Yeah, I prefer to skip the answer on that since also competitor can hear this call as well.
Let me ask you a little bit different way, more general way. You talked about you expect to hire new people. I know you were looking to hire or did hire about a quarter or two ago another couple, two or three people for sales. Well, what I'm trying to figure out is the magnitude of your growth in your sales efforts. Are you growing your sales efforts by 5% or 10% or 50% or?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I think I can answer this. Maybe two questions. The plan is to be in the end of Q2 with double of salespeople than we had in the beginning of the year. Salespeople that carry quota.
Okay.
So those people, part of them already started to work, and they are more focused on new territories.
And what's driving the decision behind this? Why are you being so aggressive in this?
Yeah, we gain a lot of confidence with the Maverick, with the new technology that we released to the market exactly a year ago. We see that the customer know to appreciate this technology. We see that it's cover all the needs that the customer raising in tenders. So we feel that we need to see more opportunities. We know that the market is big. The market is more than $1 billion, and we need to increase our addressable market. So in order to increase our addressable market, we need more legs on the field, and I think this is a risk we should take to do this investment and to get more opportunities. Of course, the influence for those opportunities or for these efforts, we will see that in 2016, maybe a little bit earlier, but this is more long-time investment.
And if you look at your pipeline, for 2015, how much of this is selling up to existing customers versus new customers?
Yeah. We are now, since we started these efforts in the sales organization and we changed a little bit the strategy and opened our eyes to new customers and new market, I can say now that the pipeline that we have a new opportunity with new customers. In percentage, I can say maybe 60% existing, 40% new customers. Again, new customers, you need to gain their confidence. It's a long process. Sometimes they involve proof of concept. But again, having a new customer, it's also something that we need to bring, and we are working on that.
And can you maybe characterize sort of the sales process and with Tier 1 North American European players, what that looks like?
I think in general, the sales process, no matter what is the territory, is that there is an, if it's a new customer, then there is an RFP. I mean, they write down what there are needs and we are answering. They are asking, they're having a list, let's say, of 8, maybe 10 competitors Then they reduce the number, they choose two, maybe three. They're doing a proof of concept. They decide who is the best product in terms of technology, and then they start negotiating the price. This is the average sell process. It's a long sales process if it's a new customer. If it is existing customer and he's using the solution, then the process is shorter. They can ask for more capacity because their network is growing. They can ask for more application. So it's more software packages. They can ask for some more or different technology if they are moving to LTE or voice over LTE, etc. So in general, those are the two ways to do business. There is one exception, and this is more related to Tier 1 US and EMEA that adopt the NFV. Since NFV and virtualization is new for everybody, I think those customers are more checking the technology and learning what you can propose them before they are starting the business circle. So it's hard for me to say if there will be RFP for that or they will just choose the technology. It's a new dimension and we are learning it.
How has the feedback been from these tier ones on your product? What kind of feedback are you getting?
The feedback is great. Again, this is why we are getting this feedback from existing customer. We are getting this feedback from new customer. We are getting this feedback from the NFV tests that we are doing on customer sites. So this is why, again, we choose to invest more in sales.
If I may explore a little bit more on this, in the past, in the history, Radcom's legacy products, you have not really had much market share, if any, in the U.S. and in Europe, or at least not a lot, with the Tier 1 players. What has changed with this new product? Is it the NFV factors that make you want to be a player there, or what's different now than hasn't been in years past?
Yeah. First of all, currently still our main market is Asia-Pacific in Latin America. And we took this decision to go to the emerging market because we understand, I think it was back then in 2008 or 9 or something like that, that we understand that, first of all, they are going to invest more on the, that their growth pattern is better than EMEA and U.S. This is one reason. The other reason was tactical reason that the U.S. market was saturated with competitors. According to our analysis, the NFV, the virtualization, opened the door for everybody now, and it's opened the door for new solution. So a Tier 1, all the network elements that he has today are basically non-relevant, and he's building again the network around the virtualization. And in his perspective, he needs to choose the best technology in each of the parameters. We are a service assurance company, customer experience management company, and this is our field. And the Tier 1 now need to decide what is the best technology that he can take today. No matter what he had in the last 5 years, 10 years, it doesn't matter. This is our analysis. This is why we are investing now more in the U.S. and EMEA than we used to invest in the past.
You had mentioned earlier that your technology is, in some ways, like 2 years ahead. Well, when you're competing against these big Tier 1 North America, does that apply in those cases where you feel like your technology is well ahead of your competitors in this?
We feel that our technology, first of all, ready already today for the virtualized environment, which is not yet mature, as you know, in the Tier 1. This is one thing. And the other thing is, yes, we feel that in terms of technology, we are ahead of our competitors.
Thank you, David.
Thanks.
The next question is from Nicole Gilliatt of ION. Please go ahead.
Hi, I have a few questions today. Were there any notable deals signed in the quarter on Maverick?
Actually, the majority of our sales are Maverick.
Can you quantify the size of the deals signed in the quarter?
Yeah, around 90%.
No, but the size of the largest deals.
We have a, you mean the from the revenue, right?
Yes.
We have one large customer that bring us a lot of revenue this quarter.
Was that a tier one customer?
It is a tier one customer, yeah.
Were there any large deals that came close in the quarter but are going to be pushed out to Q2?
Well, what do you mean close to the quarter and pushed out? I mean, we are not manipulating the number.
No, were there any, were you in the sales process in Q1 that had, that were delayed and we and you should see those come in the second quarter?
We have a lot of potential. I mean, there are always delays, and yes, there were delays for Q1 to Q2 and Q3, and also for Q4 there were some delays. This is a common practice in the industry, but again, we feel very comfortable with the pipeline we have.
Okay.
Even if there are some delays, I mean, in the end of the day, the customer needs a solution, and he will choose somebody.
Mm-hmm. And can you comment on what the competitive landscape is like at the moment, given the NetScout Tektronix agreement?
So basically, we are going to see one big company, which is going to be NetScout, adopting Tektronix. It's very hard for me to measure. I mean, I have my numbers, but I'm not sure that they're accurate, so I don't want to present them about the size of their market. And beside this big company, NetScout, there will be some other companies in our size, and there are other companies in our size playing around.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Have you noticed though any comments from customers or shift in the landscape in the last several weeks or months? But basically in 2015.
What kind of comments related to NetScout Tektronix or?
Yes. Have you seen any shift in customer preference?
Well, we naturally Tektronix customers are a little bit nervous because of this change, and naturally we are trying to leverage this opportunity.
Okay. Last question for me is a quick balance sheet question. What was the main use of cash in the first quarter?
All operating expenses, like every quarter.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
If there are any additional questions, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Please stand by while we poll for more questions. The next question is from Noah Steinberg of G2 Investment Partners. Please go ahead.
Hi, it's Josh Goldberg for Noah. Just two quick questions. First, I guess, just so everyone has it clear, if you're financial income was equal to what it was last year, I calculate that that would have been an additional $650,000 of income. And against your share count, that translates into about 7 cents of earnings or about 16 cents for the quarter. So make sure I got that right. I mean, obviously, a lot of people are affected by the foreign currency, but in terms of your core business, you would have done 16 cents this year versus basically 3 cents last year.
Yeah. Hi, Josh. I think you got it right, exactly right. Unfortunately, the the financial losses damage the EPS of the company.
And if the Brazilian real continues to perform for the rest of this quarter, you might actually have the opposite effect to your earnings per share in June.
Yeah, exactly. We have two parameters that we hope to catch up in Q2. One is the financial losses that I hope it will turn to be a financial income. And as Uri described, we already have something like 180 positive financial income. And the other thing is the operating chief science that we were not able to report it this quarter, but we believe we will be able to report it in Q2, and that will be another catch-up.
You think you'll catch up on that, meaning that if you spend about, if you get about $1.5 million a year, you should still get about $1.5 million this year, just not not in Q1, but for the rest of the year?
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know if it's 1.3 or 1.7 or 1.5. It's very hard to focus how much it will be, but we are going to get a letter from them in about a week or two, and we will know the exact number, and then we will report it in Q2. Like half of the number we will report in Q2.
Okay, so it sounds like you'll have a few benefits in Q2 on the on things that are beyond your control.
Exactly.
Okay. You mentioned a little bit on the call that your cash collections will improve in the second quarter, and obviously your cash went down this quarter. Do you have any sense on cash by the end of June being above $7 million again?
Yeah, we again, another parameter that we are catching up this big amount of payment that we are not able to collect. Due to tactical reason in the end of Q1, and we already start to collect it this quarter, and we have some additional big amounts coming from Latin America. So all of the total with some other project, the targets for Q2 in terms of collection is really very big, and we believe we will make it. So you will see a huge increase in the cash in this quarter. It's hard for me to say what is the exact number. Uri, do you think that 7 is reasonable?
Yeah.
Okay. So the CFO says that 7 is reasonable. So.
Okay. I guess the last question, if you're increasing your sales force by about 50%, and obviously the majority of your bookings this quarter was Maverick, and Maverick is showing some really good signs for the rest of the year. And you reiterated that although business is lumpy, you do expect a strong year in terms of growth. Where are we missing this this opportunity in terms of it seems like this is not even just a 1 year thing. This could be a 2, 3, 4 year ordeal where you continue to get more and more customers, and your revenue will continue to grow, and obviously your earnings will grow even faster. So I'm just trying to, without making predictions, obviously with NFV and other things happening, it would seem to me that you're sitting in front of a very big spending cycle on your customers.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's exactly, we are in a good position because we don't see any need to increase the investment in R&D, G&A, other than the sales and marketing. And since we believe that the customer must continue to invest in this dimension, we see the trends that they ask for solutions. We see more LTE, more voice over LTE opportunity. We believe that NFV will open a new dimension in sales in territories that we were avoiding in the last 6-7 years. So this is all make us again make the spirit here as a very optimistic spirit.
Okay, great. Thanks so much.
Okay. The next question is from Robin Gilmore. Please go ahead.
congratulate you guys. I think Josh asked most of my questions. And just continue the good work. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Ruben.
There are no further questions at this time. Mr. Ripstein, would you like to make your concluding statement?
Yes, thank you, Noga. Thank you, Uri.
Mr. Ripstein, there is a follow-up question from John.
Okay, sure.
Can I open him up? Okay.
Yes, sure.
I guess if you just can help us, obviously stock is down about 11% this morning, I think mostly on the foreign exchange concerns. You mentioned on your prepared remarks you're participating in tenders with some new and existing customers in North America and Europe, making progress with some of these very big tier one customers. Can you just give some more color without going into much detail about what's going on at the company? How much bigger are these tenders or possible opportunities than what you had before 2 years ago with your existing Pro products?
Yeah, there is certainly a trend that we are more and more gaining tier one customers. And when you are playing or dealing with a tier one customer, it means basically that the potential is really huge. We announced few interesting deals in Q4. Just an example of what is the value of T1, and this was from the emerging market. As I mentioned, we are now also starting to invest in U.S. as well. And again, the potential is huge. I cannot guarantee anything. We need still to work hard and to win against competition. But when we are looking on our pipeline compared to the past, we see we have a tier two, tier three opportunities, but we see huge potential coming from those tier one customers that we have and tier one new opportunities that we are building.
Do you feel that you have enough staff now to get you to some of those customers, or do you feel like you're not, you're not prepared yet, whether it's in terms of the size of a company or, in terms of what you have to be able to win some of these big tenders?
No, we prove already that we can support tier one in the size of 60 and 70 million customer. So this is basically the high end of the tier ones. So we have the technology that can support this size of customers, and we have also the people that know how to deal with those customers. So I don't see any issue with that. And again, the potential is huge. As you mentioned, the lumpiness of the Brazilian may influence us this quarter or the OCS, the chief science, but this is, again, lumpiness of the quarters. For the long term, we are very positive in our potential.
Okay, thanks so much.
Oh, okay. There's another question from George Marima. Please go ahead.
Bill, I'm sorry. The last caller kind of brought up another question for me about capacity and Radcom's capacity. Being that your new products are more software-based rather than hardware-based what sort of capacity do you have as a company nowadays?
Can you define capacity?
In terms of deployments, revenue, and how much does it take to deploy and to maintain and to service, how much can you handle?
Yeah, basically we always had software solution. That the issue was in the past that it was a combination of software and hardware, make our life more complicated in the past. Bringing the Maverick and using a proprietary hardware make it much more easy to deploy, much more easy to maintain. So our life in terms of customer support are much better than it used to be in the past. I think the customer satisfaction is in the top today, and I'm enough used in the company to sense that. It's very hard to measure, but I can sense it. It's really the happy customers, and I think we are in a good capacity as a company with the right tools and the right process to support another round of improvement in the results and more customers.
Can you give any more order of magnitude of what that means? I mean, could you handle $50 million in revenue this year, or $100 million, or how expandable is this?
Yeah. First of all, I can another parameter just to explain you how we measure that is the time that it takes us in the past to implement a solution than compared to what we have now. In the past, it takes us more than a year. In average, sometimes a year, sometimes a year and a half from the moment we got the purchase order till we finish the installation and all the testing that the customer did. Today, it takes us 3 to 6 months, even less sometimes, and we are generating a happy customer that start using the system, and then we can start dealing with more upsells. So this is another example how you can measure the efficiency that was improved by bringing the Maverick technology in. As for the capacity, I'm not thinking yet on $100 million per year. Last year we did 24, so we're aiming for a growth, but not to $100 million this year. But we feel very comfortable with the resource we have. We can control meaningful amounts of growth.
Thank you, Dave.
Yeah.
Okay. There are no further questions at this time. Mr. Ripstein, would you like to make your concluding statement?
Yes, thank you, Noga. Thank you, Uri. And to you all for participating in this conference call.
Thank you. This concludes the RADCOM LTD First Quarter 2015 Results Conference Call. Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.